Okay, folks, here we are today. Welcome to the Grace Hour. The Grace Hour is a daily program that allows us to dive into our lives, our believing lives. We find challenges and we discover the helps so we can learn to live this faith in a practical way. My name's Pastor Gary Grunewald, and I'm fortunate to be here with none other than Pastor Shibeli. He's just been into Nepal. He's back from his trip from India, and here we are. And today our theme is about the anointing, and it's going to keep it really practical today, how it's used in our life, how it's expressed, maybe even talk about losing an anointing. Anointed service, we want to talk about that today, and how to develop an anointing in our lives. So those are some of the themes today. So
I would like ahead. You, if you could read for me Luke 4:16-21, because sure. of this eye surgery, I'm not able to really focus that well on reading, a little bit, but I want to make sure that it's correct, and I think if you do it, it will be correct.
If I do, okay. Which verse?
Luke 4:16-21.
Okay. And he came to Nazareth. This is verse 16, Luke 4. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me in to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears."
And this is actually when they went very reactionary.
Yes.
In this particular point, because when he said that, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears," he was claiming he was Messiah.
Yes.
At that particular point. And that really like knocked them for a loop. You know, they just said, "Wait, who is this? This is Jesus of Nazareth. We know him, the carpenter's son, the son of Joseph, you know, and whatnot." And but that's not what we're focusing on right now. We're talking about the anointing of God. And this is such an important word, oftentimes misinterpreted and misunderstood about what mm-hmm. the anointing is. And some people can just take it and use it in an incorrect way. I would like to say, number one, the anointing actually means to be consecrated. The word is krio, C-H-R-I-O, to be consecrated, to be set apart, to be separated unto God.
Right.
Okay, that's the anointing. And what we have here is, number one, we have God's word is absolutely anointed. Mm-hmm. It's the anointed word of God. That doesn't mean black letters on white pages, but when it is properly under preaching and teaching from a man of God who's spirit-filled, it's anointed. The word of God is anointed, set apart, consecrated, separated unto God. It's God's mind. The Holy Spirit is anointed. The Holy Spirit is anointed. The anointing of the Spirit, 1 John chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. And then I would say that the church, the body of Christ, is anointed. The church, the body, set apart unto God. And so the anointing of God, this is so key and so important, because I can do whether it's a radio program, I can go on evangelism, I can preach, I can teach, I can come to church, I can read my Bible, I can be operating in the activities of the Christian life. And is it set apart unto God for God's glory? Is it set apart unto God through his power? Is it set apart and consecrated unto God so that God will really touch it? Now, he gives us a number of things, and I remember years ago, this was my first message in 1986 in Ghana, I remember. First time I ever preached in West Africa, it was Luke 4:16-21. I remember very clearly it was in November of 1986, And I remember where it took place, at the end of a street in the city of Ashama, all the way to the end. And they put some boards up and made
86
like
86 years ago.
Huh?
86 years
no,
ago.
No, to, not 86.
I mean, 36 years ago. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And
wait
put,
a second.
They
yeah.
put, they put
yeah.
boards up. And they made like a platform, and I stood upon it. And I guarantee there was hundreds and hundreds of people there. It was something very new to me. I never thought that's what's going to be happening. But they just brought me from my hotel room right to the place. And that was the message. And I remember how clear this message was for me. Now, number one, in regards to this particular portion of Scripture, it talks about the poor.
Right.
And I believe they received the riches of grace. Five things here. The poor receive the riches of grace. Brokenhearted people receive abundant mercy. Captives receive a deliverance from the word of truth. The blind get faith eyes, and the bruised get a finished work position. Those five things. That was I remember the message very clearly when I preached on it. But really, the anointing of God, that God's grace is anointed, God's mercy is anointed. God's word is anointed. God's faith anointed. The finished work anointed. Set apart unto God. And this is so key that we don't look at the Bible or we don't look at what we're doing in our Christian life as being something that's very common, just a common thing, a natural thing.
Explain that a lot. Explain that a lot. In our Christian life, we don't look at what we do as common. Talk about that.
Right, because it's very easy to just become a natural thinker. You know, and I can look at black letters on white pages and say, yes, I know it's the word of God, but it doesn't, there's no faith mixed with it. I take it as something very common, as common words, and I don't see the power and the activity of the life of God in it.
So there's a danger there. There's a danger
there. Very dangerous. It can be very dangerous. We become familiar with the word of God. It becomes just something. And by the way, Satan would love to make us familiar with the word of God. And that way it would therefore take away its power and its ability, just making it very common. You can go to some churches where a person is not saved, they're not born again. They are using the Bible, but absolutely it's not anointed.
Yes.
It is not anointed because, number one, they're not saved, so the Spirit of God is not in them, nor is it on them. And therefore, their relationship to the Word of God is void of the Holy Spirit, void of the anointing of God, and becomes the letter of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, where the letter kills. The Bible could actually kill you.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It can kill off a desire for the things of God, could kill off a lot of things because it's only letter and legalism. It's not life. But God wants it to be life. So the anointing really speaks of the life of God.
How do I recognize, I'm losing an anointing in my life? Like, talk about that. Like,
well,
losing, did you, sensing it or, and then regaining it?
Yeah,
both.
Yeah, it's like, not a feeling per se.
Good.
But it is a relationship with God himself and the Holy Spirit's life. And in other words, like maybe I will not recognize I'm losing it.
Right.
Maybe I will just lapse over into being familiar and all of a sudden that which is supernatural becomes natural. That which is eternal becomes temporal. That
right.
which is faith becomes sight. You know, these things just take place and we're not careful. So it's important for me to get before God. And as I open my Bible in the morning or I'm going to be involved in some kind of Christian activity in life, do I get before God and say, God, cleanse me of all sin? I mean, if there's sin in my life, there's no anointing. If
right.
there's sin in my life, there's no anointing. And I'm not talking about, we have an old
there's
sin nature.
There's a barrier between
yeah.
you and God,
yeah.
right?
We have an old sin nature, and of course, that can be a barrier. But am I living in known sin, okay? So that really prohibits God's life from being manifested. From that taking place. I mean, were there not times in Peter's life when we can see that he was anointed or he wasn't anointed? Maybe when he treated Gentiles as just people that he really wanted nothing to do with.
Yes.
In Galatians 2, and Paul had to rebuke him. Was he anointed at that particular point? No. He was living in something natural. So the supernatural becomes natural, the eternal becomes temporal, that which is faith becomes something of the emotions or just feelings. And there's no anointing. And the Bible says in Isaiah 10:27, the anointing breaks the yoke. So is it, are there yokes being broken in my life personally? The yoke of sin, the yoke of the old sin nature dominating my life, the yoke of worldliness, the yoke of demons and the enemy coming against to try to control, the world system. And is my Christianity worldly, And where is the anointing of God? Where is the presence of God? That's another great word to use. The anointing is actually the presence of God.
Right.
And this is so key. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 through 29, glorying in his presence. Mm. So if the presence of God is not in my life, of course he's in me. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit indwells you. John 14:17, and throughout the scriptures, you can see the indwelling life of the Holy Spirit in a person. But just because I am born again and have the Spirit of God, does that mean there is a manifestation of the Spirit taking place? Is a life being lived? And therefore, faith becomes very important, mixing faith, So we can see instances in the Bible when, when Saul was trying to kill David, was he anointed? He was positionally anointed as king, but right. Experientially, no. See, so we've got to make the difference between a position and experience, which sure. A lot of people have a trouble with in Christianity. Positionally, I am called of God. I am chosen. I'm anointed of God. I am in Christ. I'm in the church, and I'm in the purpose of God. But what is my experience? Is my experience connect with my position, or is it totally void of that? Am I experiencing something other than who God is in me?
Okay, so in the anointing, just say a person, a believer, you said, if there's sin in my life, how do I examine myself? How do am I sensitive to the Holy Spirit to reveal sin, not just a gross sin in my life, but
something
sin,
small,
sins
even,
in the
yeah.
heart? Yeah. What do I do? Like, why do I even want that? It's because I want an anointing in my life. Because I
you want God.
I want the word to speak to me. I want the Holy Spirit to be manifest in me, and I want an anointing in the body of Christ. So, tell me about that process.
Well, first of all, is there meekness and humility in a person's life?
Yeah.
And if I, the Bible says that the Comforter will convict. I'm not so sure that's a good word there. In the English language, is more along the lines of the Comforter, the Encourager, the Parakletos will convince me. God wants to convince me and reveal to me where I need to grow and how God can be, himself can be manifest in my life. So he has crucified the old sin nature, Galatians 2:20 and 21. The old man is crucified, Romans 6:6. The world is crucified. And by the way, the devil's been dealt with too, Revelation 12:7-9. So he's defeated the enemies. Now, am I going to live before God and be having a desire for God's life to be manifest in me? It all comes with a choice of the will. Is that what I want?
Yeah.
Or do I want something else? Do I just want the convenient lifestyle, or I just want to do what I want to do. I want to live in good flesh, Oh, nobody wants to live in bad flesh, evil flesh.
There's no anointing there.
No, the good side is the problem. The good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that's really the major problem. I want to live in the life of God and not just the good side of the old sin nature. I want to live in the life of God. And that's going to take a person making decisions because they have a desire and they need God. They have choices to make. It's a will. God doesn't force us to live spiritual lives. It's a choice that we make.
Right.
It's the choice. I make a choice to be Spirit-filled, Ephesians 5:18. I make a choice to be Word-filled, Colossians 3:16. It's a choice that is made. And so I can be born again and have the anointed Holy Spirit in me and live a very common, natural life that has no effect.
Right.
It has no effect because I'm not letting the Holy Spirit have his way in my life. He gives the Holy Spirit on an experiential basis, Acts 5:32, to those who obey him, to say yes to God. So if God says to me, if I have an initiation from the Holy Spirit through preaching and teaching or studying my Bible to pray, and I say no, well, guess what? Where's the anointing of the Spirit? Yes, the Spirit's in me. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I'm positionally saved, but I'm not experiencing God.
Right.
I'm not experiencing God. And that's one of the big problems can be in Christianity around the world today. Yes, they are Christians and they are born again, but is the life of Christ being manifested? This is the key. This is what makes the difference. This is what makes a difference in a ministry, in a life, in a marriage, in a family, you know, in a vocation that I'm involved with as a believer, whatever it may be, wherever God takes me in my spiritual occupation, is this anointed of God. I don't want to be like working in Africa or being involved with missions around the world and just do it commonplace, natural.
Sure.
That's like death. And you can experience, and by the way, when that's happening, you just sense, where is God in this, you know?
It's fake. Yeah. It's fake. It's right. it's not real. It's pretend. And then the yokes in your own life aren't being broken.
Right.
And there's no anointing.
Right. Right.
You can't say, you know, you can't say like Christ did in Luke chapter 4, you know, I'm anointed of the Spirit of God. You know what I mean? And here he is. Like
right.
He has a sense of this presence of God in his ministry. And this is this where, you know, you feel like a vessel when you're anointed, right?
Yes.
You feel like, you know, it's not me doing this work, but I literally feel a fullness of God inside of me. And your ideas, your thoughts, your holiness is a holiness way beyond even, you know, did I sin today? It's like, it's a sense of like, I just want to touch holy things. Wherever I step is holy.
Set
also,
apart unto
right?
God and everything in my thinking, in my decisions, in my words, in my very life, set apart unto God. And of course, we're sinners saved by grace. And of course, there's an enemy. And of course, there's a flesh. And of course, there's a world system. But they've all been defeated.
Right.
They've all been defeated through the finished work. And this is really so key. But many people have what I call, there can be a false anointing from the soul of man.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I have a mind, and it's a knowledge, but it's not God.
Yeah.
But it's knowledge. Emotions, but not God's affections.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
Will, but it's not God's will. It is maybe some religious will. A conscience that is not attached to the thoughts of God. And a self-image that is void of God.
Well, there you have it. Yeah.
So that's called we call that a false anointing.
A self-made
yes.
creature.
It's a soulish. Remember we used to call it soul power?
Yeah.
It's soul power anointing. It's a mind without God. And it can be religious. It's emotions without God. It's a will without God. It's a conscience without void of God. And it's a self-image that's natural. Could be good, but it's not God.
Yeah.
And so there's what we call a soul power anointing. And maybe that could take place in somebody's life, or it could be in some preacher on television. It's not the Spirit's anointing. It's a soul power anointing. And it's counterfeit. That was the word I was looking for before.
Okay.
It's a counterfeit anointing. And only a person with a spiritual anointing would be able to discern it.
Okay.
To understand that this is not, and not in a judgmental way, but realizing, wait a minute, this is not from God. And I've been in places where people try to work up the anointing, you know, in a church service by being loud or prayers or you know, mute, whatever it takes, you know, try to work up.
A counterfeit.
It's counterfeit.
Sure.
It's got nothing to do with it. An anointing from God doesn't have to be loud.
So let's talk about, maybe we're talking about like preaching there, a preacher, a minister. Take it to a mom. Take it to a mom as a mom that, okay, she wakes up in the morning, she looks at her life, she wants an anointing on her life.
Yeah.
Like, tell me about that situation,
God,
Ma.
Okay, here I am. I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord Jesus, I come before you. I'm saved by grace. Thank you for your mercy. But show me areas of my life where I fall short. Not in a condemning way, but in a convincing way. You're the comforter. Show me, God.
Beautiful.
I want to help me to see the things in my life that really are not from you. Okay?
Beautiful.
So there's a brokenness. There's a mercy. Give me mercy today.
That's
give
key,
me,
isn't it? Like
this
brokenness before God. Just
Psalm 51, right?
Yeah.
Created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me.
Yes.
David was broken before God. So you approach every aspect of your life
beautiful
that way every day. And that doesn't mean it just happens in the morning.
Right.
That ought to be how I'm thinking along the way, you know? Like what I said, did that build somebody up and comfort them? Or did I just say something that damaged somebody?
Mm.
You know, so God, an anointed person is not going to hurt people. It's not going to discourage people. Is not going to tear people down. Is going to believe the best. If you're anointed, you believe the best about people. So this anointing can take place in the life of every single believer. Am I anointed when I, you know, attend school?
Yeah.
You know? Am I there in a place where I'm there to be a receiver, not to have a negative attitude towards the teacher?
There's an anointing way to receive, anointing way to take notes. There's an anointed way to sit in a service. There's an anointed way to worship God in a service. There's an anointed way to leave the service, to come to the service, right?
And we don't want to get hyper-spiritual with it and think that, like, you know, some people could say, wait a minute, this is a little bit too much, you know.
Yeah.
I can't handle that.
Yeah.
You know, but and we're not so much conscious of it, but we are conscious of the Holy Spirit in our life.
That's
and
right.
I think that's a person that's in a place where they're being well-taught and they study the Bible, they're going to know when their thoughts are not thoughts from God. You know, Isaiah 55, 8 through 10. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I know when my thoughts are not from God.
Right.
And they might even be decent thoughts. Might even be a good thought or something, but it might not be God.
Yeah.
You know? And so if it's not God's thoughts, it's not God's word. God's word is anointed.
Right.
Anything outside of human reason is not anointed.
Right. Okay?
God's word is anointed. God's spirit is anointed. My spirit void of God is not anointed. Okay? God's will is anointed. My will is not anointed if it's outside of God's will. God's conscience is anointed. My conscience, what's right and wrong based on the word, is not anointed. Who the new person in Christ is anointed. The old man is not anointed, you know?
So one aspect that you're talking about is, we talked about sin, but mercy is important for this person to realize. Like you could say, to regain his anointing. Like David in Psalm 51, right? He was very conscious about regaining his anointing, really, with his walk with God.
Yeah. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He didn't mean he would lose his salvation.
Right.
But the presence of God.
Right.
God's presence was not there.
Right.
You know? And how many times can a Christian operate in life without the presence of God? And I don't mean to get introspective and to examine, you know, did I blow my nose with, you know, spiritually speaking today? Some people can go way beyond that. And I think God is not concerned with those kind of things, you know. But overall in my life, am I walking before God?
Yes.
Am I walking with God and walking before God? And he'll take care of all the details. Don't despise the day of small things either. He'll take care of the details. So I don't have to be like sitting back and thinking, was that anointed? Was that anointed?
Well,
was that anointed? Was that anointed? Was that anointed? You know, like, did I just, the word I just said, you know, did I take a right turn into the parking lot? Was it anointed? You know, I mean, it can get extremely hyper-spiritual.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second, but just I want to continue in Psalm 51. Even David, it's like you could say, well, just what we're talking about, you know, God didn't want the sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, these vain sacrifices. And he saw in his heart, like, that's not anointed. My sacrifices are not, it's a broken and contrite spirit, right? This that God desired. And it wasn't a sense of self-analysis. It was a sense of being before God in broken and contriteness. It wasn't a sense of, what I do is that like anointed, but it's a sense of being before God, isn't it?
It's my personal walk with God. And that's the key, and then everything that's involved with that, you know. And don't you think God is going to be there and has a desire to check us off in areas where we're not walking with him?
That's a walk with God.
Of course he is. He's concerned about that, so I don't have to get so introspective that I'm analyzing every little thing that I do.
Right.
I mean, I could be out of my mind doing that, you know.
Yeah.
But I just want to trust God and say, God, you know, I say if it's not your will, close the door. Stop that from happening, you know. Maybe we have conversations on the phone. Are they of God or are they not of God? Are they Word of God filled? Is there an eternal purpose? Does God get glory in it? Or is it just this nonsense conversation that means nothing, you know? Because people can, any of us can just start talking and talking and talking, and, you know, where is it going?
Right.
Is it edifying at all? Does it have anything to do with God's glory? It doesn't mean we have to be quoting verses all the time.
Right.
I'm not saying that, you know.
Right.
But can I change my tire? You know, well, I don't know. I got to pray for the anointing of God before I change the tire. Well, then you can. You might just sit there with a flat tire for like a half a week, you know, 3 days.
Right, right.
Because you know? God just says, you know, you're anointed, change the tire, you know.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like, you know, like you can get, you're getting a little bit too finite with this, too particular, and just trust in God, you know.
Yeah. So talk about that after a message. How do you analyze? I mean, we can overanalyze it, right? Was it? Go ahead, talk about
that. I say that I go home sometimes, and I say to my wife, it just didn't come out right. It just didn't seem like it came out right. She goes, why don't you just be quiet?
Yeah.
Stop your mouth. You know, stop evaluating.
Yeah.
How can you evaluate what God has done? I think Spurgeon once said, or was it Moody? He said the message that he felt was the worst message he ever preached had the greatest results.
Yes.
It had the greatest result. He thought he just was an utter failure in the message. He just got nothing right, couldn't connect things together. It seems like God wasn't even there. And then they traced the results, and there was more salvations and decisions made for Christ. So it's got nothing to do with the natural, what my natural viewpoint is. This is the thing. And we can think naturally in a good way.
Yes.
But it's not God.
So. You know?
It's not God.
So there you have. Just think of you have an anointed word, the word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You're inside of the body, which is anointed. Okay, and you're ministering inside of that.
Uh-huh.
There's this setting of an anointing, right? And you don't know what God is going to do.
There's an anointing on the body. There's an anointing on the word of God, and there's an anointing on the Spirit of God that lives in you. Okay.
Yeah.
And I really believe that, I can think that there could be times that a person could speak and they're not so sure whether that message was from God or not. And God would bless it because it's His word.
Yes.
His word is anointed, you know? And, I listened to sometimes, I remember listening to somebody who wasn't saved reading the Bible and I was touched by it.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember that it was in a certain church, you know, they would get up and read the Bible and I would go, wow, that's interesting. I never thought about that. That's how God thinks.
You know? I love that.
And
that
it's
happens.
Like, you know, so it's going to go beyond natural thinking too, very much beyond natural thinking.
Yeah.
That God can be surprised what God can use. If he can speak to a donkey, I guess he could just use about anything, you know?
I would think so. Yeah.
We're talking about sovereign situations, you know, but overall, if I'm a person that is not saved, I read the Bible, it's black letters on white pages. It's a lot of good things here, but is it making any sense to me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, I might think it is. And I'm not saying it couldn't lead to salvation. You know? Mm-hmm. We don't have anything going on the screen at all.
I don't have anything up there yet.
Oh, wow.
No.
What's all that stuff on the right side? I can't read it.
They're talking.
Comments from yesterday?
Great insight and very encouraging thoughts. Yeah, we have that. A woman's humility. Yeah, yeah. It's great to see. Okay.
Well, I think that as a Christian, what I want to do is I want to, I rise up in the morning and I just want to I want to get before God and say, God, please help me, you know, today.
Yeah.
Give me mercy. Give me grace. You know, show me truth in your word, lead me through the Holy Spirit, guide me, convince me in areas where I'm not walking with you.
Right.
But, you know, does everybody wake up like that? Do I always do that all the time? Maybe not.
Yeah.
But this is what is important.
Yeah.
These are foundational truths, how to start my day.
Right.
You know, not start my day with the kids are making noise. It's too early in the morning. Get up and spank them. No, not talking about that at all, you know, start the day that way, but get before God. That's why I think Jesus rose up early, right?
Right.
I mean, there's so many things that can take place in the activity of a day.
Right.
You know? And what do I do? And how do I prepare for that? And how do I keep going during the day that I don't lose that foundation with God, you know? And so maybe you're saying, oh, yeah, that's great for you. You men are pastors, missionaries, and you work in the ministry. What about me who's going to the factory and all around me are nothing but people swearing and smoking cigarettes, and they were talking about last night's drunken party and all that. What do? You stay set apart to God.
Right.
You do not let those things infect you. You put up a shield of faith.
It's an anointing. Yeah.
Yes, you have an anointing to be there. You're called to be there. You're there. You are a vessel of honor in the midst of all kinds of vessels of dishonor. And it's a calling from God. As much as it is a calling for somebody to go to Africa on a mission field, at your job and at your place of work, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, you're set apart by God to reflect Christ.
Right.
To reflect Christ, you know. I think this is important. Like, I mean, imagine if you prayed a prayer like this, do you think God would answer it? Lord God, I pray that somebody on my street would have an interest in spiritual things, that I would meet somebody that I could share your life with. And God says, no, I'm not interested in that prayer. No, pray something else, you know. Of course God's interested in that. But do we dare pray that? God, give me somebody. I know I did that one time. I said, God, today I'm putting this before you. And I prayed it, and my wife heard the prayer. She goes, that's a great prayer. And there was a knock on the door, and it was the guy next door, and he had a heroin problem.
Oh, really?
You know? And I said, I ain't got time. My wife said, you just prayed a prayer, and you told him you haven't got time. She said, what's wrong with you? So I opened the door. I said, excuse me.
Hey, come back.
Could you come back here for a minute? I messed up, you know? When I told him I messed up, he looked at me like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
And he ended up coming to church, you know, which was really interesting.
Amazing.
So
that's an anointed prayer. That is beautiful.
Like, wouldn't God anoint that prayer? God, give me somebody. I don't know how it could even happen. I'm going to go to Walmart today. Is there still such a thing as Walmart? I'm going to go to Walmart
Kmart
today.
Kmart,
whatever. Really. That's gone. Okay, I'm going to go down to the, I got to have my car fixed today. I got to do this. I got to go to the gas station. I got to meet somebody. Maybe I just give them a track or something, or I give them something. And wow. And why? No, I'm not interested in that prayer. No, come on. Get serious with me about something else. You know, your salary at work or your provision. No, God is interested. God will answer that prayer. Do we dare pray it is the question. You know?
Yeah.
God, lead me and guide me to somebody that wants to know something about that which is spiritual.
You know? Wow, beautiful.
Not just when I go out on evangelism, but every day. I could be very good at going out on Saturday and having a closed heart Monday through Friday and Sunday, and I'm not interested in somebody can knock on my door. I'm not interested.
Right.
I only evangelize on Saturday. You know, I got this 1 hour a week between 11 and 12, and that's all I do. No more. That's it. You know, and that becomes just a religious experience.
Right.
That's just religion. You know.
Thinking about like an anointing in my personal life, like you said, prayer is. Like I say these prayers, like in the presence of the Holy Spirit, God, lead me to someone in my neighborhood, or give me someone in my neighborhood. Or maybe you say this prayer, like, God, let your word, and when I was speaking about an anointing in the church service, let your word speak to me. Let it be alive in my life tonight. God, let me love somebody today. Sometimes I think of like, I want to be one the two spies that come back spying out the land, and they come back with a good report. God, let my report be anointed. Let it come from your presence.
Yes.
You know, like it says in Psalm 17, you know, I want my sentence to come from the presence of God. That's, you know, like I want an anointing judgments, you know what I mean? Anointing like conclusions, the way I think about something. Yeah, like I was thinking of a someone that failed last night. I want an anointing on God's mercies towards me. I want them to speak to me in a way that they heal me and they leave me with, you know, no unclean thing in me, where I can say, you know, like David did, you know, like I don't want any unclean spirit in me. Mm-hmm. You know, like these are David's desires, and he didn't want a religious spirit in him. He wanted to be before the presence of God. So mercy, prayer, you know, what I say, like how I take, give me an anointing to be a friend so I'm not a jealous person. Right. I need anointing to be a friend. I don't want to be a jealous person or despising people all the time, right?
I just wrote down like four or five things that are absolutely anointed.
Okay.
God's word.
Amen.
God's word's anointed.
God's word.
Whether I'm reading it or I'm hearing it preached or somebody sharing it with me or I'm sharing it with somebody, God's word is anointed. Number two, I believe prayer is anointed when it's prayer to the throne of grace and I'm a person that's received mercy from God. Number three, the body's anointed. The church is anointed of God if they're born again, okay? And obviously the other things would be a factor too. Number four, the gospel's anointed. Right, I go out. So if I'm reading the Bible, I'm praying, I'm in the church, and I have a concern about the gospel, I guarantee there's an anointing.
Mm.
There's an anointing. I would even add a fifth, maybe the finished work. Finished work is anointed of God.
Sure it is.
Yeah, positional truth. So, but that could fall into some other category too. But those four things for sure, those foundations of the Acts 2:41-47 church. The Acts 4:31-36, Acts 5:40-42, Acts 6:1-10. The church, those four, the church was based on those four things. Those are the four foundations of the church and a believer's life. God's word, God's prayer, word of grace, prayer to the throne of grace,
body.
The church and the gospel.
So
those four things.
Those four things are, you could say, a key in the way that I approach my life in the
yes.
church, aren't they?
Yes.
Like, I look at the word. How do I receive it? And, you know, we're talking about anointed today, set apart. Like, it's the oil came upon it. Like,
yeah.
This is set apart for God's use. And then, you know, in the book of Exodus, where these common articles, weren't they? They were anointed with oil.
Yes.
Common articles. It's not just, you know, the ark is not just anointed, but these common articles, you know, were anointed. That speaks of me, my life, my life in the body of Christ. I'm not the pastor, but I can have anointing. It also speaks, well, not just my prayer closet in the morning, but the common areas of my life can be anointed. The oil can go upon them. So that's the word. We approach the word like that. This prayer, I want just a minute in a day where I feel like I've touched God, and I'm not leaving this place until I have touched God.
And prayer can be like, each of these can be word of God personal, word of God in the church. Prayer personal, prayer in the church.
Right, right.
Okay,
right.
Body life, is it personal? Okay,
mm-hmm.
That is the key. Gospel, personal, and then gospel with the church. And these things are also key. And yes, without them, everything becomes, and when things become common and familiar, that's when they die.
Yeah.
That's when they're just about gone. And you can see where maybe that's happened. There's been periods of time in Christianity. I remember talking a lot about the student volunteer movement. Those students were anointed of God to go into the missions, into all the world with the gospel. So anointed of God, this is set apart. It's not a word that, you know, it's difficult for you and I to understand. Set apart to God, separated unto God, consecrated to God. It's of God. My giving can be anointed.
Right.
All right. Okay. I could say I'm not gonna tithe. It's not anointed because it's in violation of the word. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to tithe, and by the way, if it's not led by God, and it's just something out of human works, I don't know if it's anointed, you know?
Sure.
Is it the Holy Spirit moving me to tithe? So is my giving anointed or is it not anointed? Is my ministry in the church, is it anointed or not anointed? My conversations, my relationships, my friendships, are they anointed of God? Is God in the middle of them?
Right.
That's
What's
key.
Wrong with searching for God?
Yeah.
In the details of our life, when we
yeah.
give, like, I want to know God's heart. Will he not give it to me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is he going to give
yeah.
me a stone when I ask for bread?
Right.
No, he's not. He's going to give me his mind for the way I give. You know what I mean? The way I treat my wife, the way I spend my money. You know what
yes.
I mean? Like, we can ask God for
anointing on everything.
Yeah, we can
an
ask
him. Anointing on everything
I know.
I mean, that you can imagine. Could you be anointed of God to cut the grass? Yes. It's
yeah.
something very personal and practical that is part of the details of everyday living. And so, you know, what's wrong with that? You can either cut the grass with a bad attitude,
Yeah.
Because you can't stand doing it, or you can just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because God is in it.
Yeah.
You know, God can be in some of the most mundane things.
Yeah.
In changing a tire. Remember one time we tried to change a tire in my old van out there. And I ended up having five or six people come and try to get the lug nuts off, and they couldn't. And I just started laughing. I realized this whole scene was anointed by God to prove that man is not able to overcome the lug nuts of this
You were driving
van.
A rust bucket.
Oh, it was a mess, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a mess. But the whole time was anointed by God.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It was laughter. I just had so much fun watching myself and everybody else try and getting frustrated over we can't get the tire off. So I just said, well, give me a can of gas. I'll burn the car right here. But I realized that wasn't right either.
No, none of the
that was illegal.
Yeah.
But no, but it was funny to watch. You know, it was so there was laughter.
Yeah.
I mean, how about like just and not the crazy way that people have this laughter anointing that's gone out there in a false movement, but just the anointing of God bringing joy into my life. I mean, do I lose joy? Do I lose joy? I said to myself one day, like my wife was laughing at me. I said, "What are you laughing at?" She goes, "You got two different shoes on." And I just had a lot of joy with that. You know,
yeah,
our relationship was anointed, and I just didn't bother looking in the closet. You know, I just put my foot in there, and there was two different shoes on.
The last thing I want to ask you, or talk about, is just receiving the anointing, like receiving what God wants to say to the churches. Like there's a fullness that when God speaks,
yeah.
he's giving us the Holy Spirit, and we see in Luke chapter 4, like. These opportunities for the poor, the blind, the bruised.
Yeah.
It's opportunities for them to receive what the Spirit wants to do on someone. Then
right.
we walk away and we say, that was anointed. Because
yeah.
why? Because I had an availability to receive. I wasn't, like you said earlier, I wasn't familiar with what God wanted to
yeah.
do. I received it, and it came in and it healed me. I received the anointing. Isn't that right?
That's so key. Like God is so willing to give, are we willing to receive?
Yeah.
And are we going to try to perform that activity without receiving?
Right.
That's called religion.
Yes.
It's going to be a formal, traditional way of doing it without receiving from God. I want to approach every day and say I want to receive from God for my time in the office, for my time on Grace Hour, for my time with my family, for my time cooking dinner, whatever it is, receiving fresh from God. That is so key because as many as received him, he gave the power or the authority to live as children of God. Receive with meekness the implanted and grafted
Amen.
Word which can deliver your soul. So Christianity is receptivity.
Amen.
And if I'm not receiving from the Spirit, from the Word, from the Gospel, from the body,
Beautiful.
Then where am I receiving
Beautiful.
From?
That's amazing.
Yeah,
thought.
Where am I
Let's
receiving
take that
from?
To our heart. Yeah. yeah. You didn't say you have anointing to cook a meal, did you? Did you say that?
I'm not a good cook. My wife does, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just wanted to check you on that
one. I thought I did one time, and she said, is that spaghetti sauce? And I went, definitely is not ragu anyway.
And you took it out to the dog and made him
no,
eat it.
No,
and
no,
and he
no.
refused it.
He walked away, too. Yeah, even the dog would walk away from something that I cooked, probably. But unless I got precise instructions, I have like a recipe in one of my Bibles of my mother's, how she made sauce, and I refuse to give it to anybody, you know?
Yeah, but you're not using it. You're keeping
it
for yourself, so what good
is
it?
No, my wife knows it.
Oh, okay.
My wife knows it, so I get it.
Has it been passed down already to
I think I did give it to one person in Africa. Yeah, she knows
it. Oh, she knows it. Okay.
But receptivity is the key to the anointing, isn't it?
It is.
If I'm not a receiver, then I'm just saying no. This is not happening. I'm not living in receptivity. And that is really a key to receiving the word, receiving the Spirit's life, receiving from the body of Christ, receiving the gospel.
There you go. We ended it with a great key there today. God.
Is that it?
Yeah, we've got some notes there. Yeah. Familiarity, devaluing God kills our humility.
I can't see the call. Is there a call there?
There isn't.
Okay.
Pastor Sturge. Is he on the air? Okay, we can take him.
Hey.
Hey, you got... is it too late to say anything?
Go ahead. I think Seb is going to let us stay on.
I think you're anointed of God to say it. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I such a great program. I just kept thinking of something you said this morning, Pastor Gary, in the devotional about how we use our our natural man to try to affect the change in our problems, you know. And I just thought about how we can substitute our personality for the anointing. How easy that is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We can substitute, try to look joyful, try to look full, complete. Why use that when we can receive? Hey, I love what Pastor Billy's saying here at the end. I want to receive the anointing. I want to receive what the Holy Spirit, what the Spirit has to say to the church. I want to receive those things. And like, I want to receive a preacher. I want to receive his anointing. I want to receive the message that he's speaking. I want to receive the anointing of a brother, what he has to say. I want to receive the anointing of people.
Amen. Yeah. Galatians 5:22. That's the evidence of the anointing. Love, joy,
peace, the fruit.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's a great point. The evidence of the anointing of God, if it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be spiritual fruit produced in a situation, you know?
Yeah.
If there's not spiritual fruit produced in the situation, then it's not the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
It's not anointed of God. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, all these things. There's the Ephesians 5:9 fruits. There's two or three there. But yes, the fruit of the Spirit would be absolutely the evidence of it is anointed of God. So if somebody says it's anointed of God and there's no love, joy, or peace there, then it's not God.
Amen.
It's
okay. Well, folks, thank you for listening today and joining us. Don't forget to subscribe and to join the YouTube, Apple Podcast, the Google Comcast, Spotify, and more. And join us next week for a brand new subject. Okay? And thank you for listening to the Grace Hour.